You're listening to the Glory Culture Podcast Show. To learn more about the ministry, head on over to gloryculturentl.com and click. Now, here's your host, David Yancey.
Hey, this is the Glory Culture Podcast Show. Wherever you are, thank you for tuning in. Well, I certainly hope you've been keeping cool, because for us out here on the West Coast, it has been the frying pan. I believe in the next few days, we're supposed to far surpass the 110 degree mark here in California, and many other places out here on the West Coast. Arizona, as always, places, things are heating up. So stay cool. But hey, today on the Glory Culture Podcast Show, I want to talk to you about prophetic acts and prophetic action, and how many things that we do, whether it's intentional or it just so happens that it took place in front of us, or something that we consciously did, or something that even the Lord prompted you to do, is in fact a prophetic act, either prophesying something over yourself, over a region, or just sowing a prophetic seed into the atmosphere to manifest by faith. Many different things that we do, whether or not we realize it, have prophetic implications, right? And of course, to prophetic people, everything's prophetic. Some people can't go to the store without interpreting the road they're driving on, you know? And I heard Bill Johnson say that once. He made that joke and he said, you know, somebody's holding a broom, it's prophetic. Somebody's driving a Chevy, it's prophetic. And then of course he went on to say, I'm breaking my own rule here. I got to tell you what I saw. And this was prophetic. And it's just, it's funny because we can do that. We can, you know, people like myself, people that are very prophetically minded, prophetically gifted, can do that. We can turn something into something that it's not, right? But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about, like, you know, by faith, we're going to call this forth prophetically. I'm talking about actual action that is prophetic and how you can do that and what the Lord will prompt you to do. And so many times we do things with our tongue and with our actions that prophesy negativity over ourselves, which is not what the Lord wants you to do. People speak word curses over themselves all the time when, oh, well, I'm probably going to get sick. Oh, well, you know, I was going to go for this promotion, but it's probably not going to be me. What we're doing is we're actually releasing and seeding the atmosphere with counterintuitive things, the counterfeit of the prophetic. You know, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so a lot of times what we do is we release death through what the world has deemed humility, right? I mean, you want to apply for this job, and according to the world, the humble thing to do is to be like, well, you know, there's so many good candidates. It's probably going to go to, you know, Joe Green over there. You know, he's probably going to get it. And then people will go, oh, yeah, oh, man, I'm sure you're going to get it. And they feel prompted to pat you on the back. Why? Because we've said something humble versus somebody that says, oh, shoot, I got that one in the bag. You're going to say, oh, this guy needs a little dose of humility in his life. But what does the Bible actually say? Now, I'm not talking about walking around and being a narcissistic jerk, but I am talking about circumcising the tongue, as in, don't release negative words over yourself. Don't come into alignment with a Babylonian system, which is false humility. Constantly saying like, oh, I'm not going to get it, but I'm just happy to be along here. That's being an Eeyore, not being victorious in the Lord. And this show is not about talking about, you know, speaking blessings over yourself. That's not what we're going to talk about today. But I do believe that even those little things that you release are prophetic in nature, because you're calling forth something. It's either destiny or death. So be very careful with what you're calling forth, especially as a spirit-filled believer, because your words are always going to be mingled with the power of the Spirit. So you can actually create things. So what are you creating with your mouth? What are you creating with your body? The prophetic acts that you do. So what am I talking about? Prophetic acts. Well, you know, we see some real commitment in the Old Testament specifically, but all throughout Scripture and to this day, of the Lord prompting people to do something. It's absolutely bizarre, illogical, and even offensive to people with no prophetic vision. I'm talking about like Isaiah walking around for 3 years naked, you know, as a sign and a wonder to the nations of what was about to take place to them. You know, so what am I saying? Am I saying that we should all do that? Absolutely not. I'm telling you this, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't appear to you and say that, then don't do that. But these actions were prophetic in nature. You know, Ezekiel, he cooked with dung, cooked his food over a pile of dung as a sign as to what things the culture was like to the Lord in the land. You know, we've got the story about the prophet marrying the harlot as a prophetic act of what it is with the Lord and his covenant with his people, and they're playing the harlot against him all the time. We see the prophet Ezekiel laying on his side for a year, longer than a year, and then flipping over to the other side. And the Lord asked him to do this because his life was a sign and a wonder. Well, how does that translate to today? Well, there are things that God will ask you to do. And there are also things that will just happen, come to pass in front of you. And God is doing it to have a witness, because God never does anything without a witness. He always has a witness to what he is doing. And that's scriptural, because in the witness of two or three, right? And there's always, everything is always set up so that there is a testimony of it. Like Jesus said, if I testify of myself, it's still true testimony, but it's in the midst of you that there may be credibility to it in the eyes of men. So there are certain things that God will ask you to do, you know, with the prophet throwing the salt into the waters and cleansed it. Did the salt cleanse it, or did the prophetic act cleanse it, right? There's things like that. And then in the New Testament, we see Caiaphas unknowingly, you know, the snake that he was high priest, but the brood of viper that he was, the you know, enemy of the Messiah, prophesied unknowingly that it is better fitting that one man should pay the price for the nation. So there are sometimes even things that we do unknowingly. The Lord has placed that in you to release that prophetic utterance, that prophetic action, whatever it is, to be released into the atmosphere so that it might manifest in its due time and due season. What you're doing is you're planting a seed. And sometimes you'll have absolutely no idea, and the Lord will just strike your spirit, you know. Here's an example, something that happened in my life, right? And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail, but I went through something really, just an absolute demonic attack. And it was, and what I was going through, had a lot to do with my call, you know, and that happens. It had a lot to do with, I had a prophetic word given to me about the finger of the prophet, and the person, the prophet that prophesied it over me, used my right index finger. The finger of the prophet was coming upon me. Well, I went through something really, really terrible. I mean, a betrayal like I've never experienced in my life. And it was very closely tied to this. And I'm going to be careful how I say this, but basically, my world was turned upside down, and I was really struggling, and I was on the rebound, right? Several months of just absolute emotional endurance, I'll say it like that. And unknowingly, I was in my kitchen and I accidentally cut off the end of my finger. The same one that was used to prophesy the finger of the prophet on my life. You know, the prophetic word about being a prophet. And I cut off the end of my finger all the way up to, I'm not talking like I lopped off the whole thing, but it was all the way up to my nail bed, that whole end of my finger. I cut it off and I was a little bit stunned. I looked at it and I just started laughing. I was just cracking up and like, boy, isn't that fitting for the season that I've been through? And I knew right then and there, like there's something prophetically being manifested right now. And I was really upset because, number one, it hurt. But, I mean, it wasn't like the end of the world. It's just a finger. But I had to preach 4 services in 2 weeks. I had a conference coming up. I was coming in from out of town. I was being brought in to preach 4 services. And I had just lopped off the end of my finger. And I'm going to go lay hands on people with this hand. And what's crazy is, just fast forward here, my finger grew back within 2 weeks. Before I got up to this conference, my finger grew back. It was total supernatural healing. And the Lord dropped in my spirit, man. He said this was a circumcision and a cutting off of the last season. And it was totally restored. Now, if you looked at my hand right now, I'm looking at my finger. There's no sign of any trauma whatsoever. Now, this has been a long time. It's been a while. It's been healed for quite some time, but it still hurts when I touch it, when I put pressure on it. And it serves as a reminder of what I went through, a reminder that the Lord cut things away, and a reminder that the Lord supernaturally caused it to manifest and grow back. Now, you know, people like to take things and make it bigger than it was. Did it grow back in front of my eyes? No. But over the course of 2 weeks, not only did this gaping hole close up, it completely closed up, the skin grew over it, and there was no evidence that anything had happened. No scab, nothing like that. And typically that would take quite some time, especially for the hole that was there. But that was the Lord, also a sign from the Lord that there was supernatural acceleration coming back. And so I want to encourage you today to ask the Lord to give you prophetic vision. There are certain things that may have happened in your life, things that may have stunned you, things where God may have cut something away, where the Lord may have removed a relationship or there had been something, whether you lost a house, lost a business, lost a vehicle, there is something that you have chalked up as this was devastating. Now, am I going to suggest to you that God devastated you or that God cut off my finger? No, not at all. That is not who He is. But there are things that are going to happen. And God is going to use that to point your vision prophetically towards destiny. God will always take a situation, whether it is an actual tragedy or it's something that just really hurts your morale, and He will use that prophetic vision to come upon you, to point you towards heaven. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So God will speak through situations, through circumstances. Now, don't get me wrong here. The enemy moves in opportunities. He's a total opportunist. God is not an opportunist, but He will shine forth in every situation. There are things in your life that you've chalked up as that's forgettable. Let's move on. I never want to go through that again. Hey, let me tell you, I don't ever want to go through cutting my finger off again. And I sure as heck don't ever want to go through the betrayal that I went through. Would I trade it in? No, because God has done a magnificent work in my heart and in my spirit. And I am who I am because of what I've gone through. Was it the will of the Lord for that betrayal to take place? Absolutely not. It was totally Jezebelic. But God moved in such a way. I don't ever want to go through it again, but I'm thankful for it. You know, I don't want to cut my finger off again, but I'm thankful for the revelation that he dropped in my spirit. There is something that you've gone through in your life, and maybe you didn't see anything prophetic. Maybe you didn't hear the call of destiny. Maybe you weren't aligning your vision towards Christ. Visit that. Take it to him in prayer. Take it to him in the secret place. God will reveal what he did for you, what he was going to do through that circumstance. And, you know, just to reiterate, God didn't cause harm to your life. God did not bring attack to your life. But he will absolutely show up. He will absolutely drop signs and wonders in all situations. So if you didn't get it, take that situation back to him. Well, Brother David, it took me a long time to get over that. My therapist said not to talk about it. Well, that's wonderful. What'd the Lord say? If he didn't say anything, he did speak. You didn't pay attention to it. You know, that I want to do a whole thing on signs on another time. But a sign is very similar to what I'm talking about right now. A sign can be like, I know I made the joke about the broom earlier. Somebody held a broom and it's prophetic. Sometimes you can walk into the room and you look at a broom and you just get this wham in your spirit. And that's a sign. God speaks through anything. And he could be tell you, I'm going to sweep some things out of your life, or I'm going to clean up something in your heart, or I'm going to, you know, whatever. That's just an example. That's not a hard and fast rule. The next time you walk in a room and see a broom, you don't necessarily have to fall on your face and say, God, clean it up. You know, although if you've got four kids like I do, I walk into the kitchen every day and say, God, clean it up. But that's a whole other issue. That's because they messy. But jokes aside, you can walk, you could be walking on a path in the wilderness and you see somebody left behind a shovel, and it'll just strike you. God is saying, it's time to dig. It's time to dig, and you know, beneath the surface, and I'm going to take you to another level, or it's time to build, or whatever. There's no hard and fast interpretation because the Lord will deposit that in your spirit, right? That those are along the signs of a sign. And I'm not talking about signs today, but that's the same element as a prophetic act. Caiaphas had no idea that he was speaking forth destiny into Jesus Christ's ministry on the earth. One man will die for the nation. I mean, Caiaphas was the one that put him on that cross, right? He had no clue that what he was releasing was a prophetic word. You know, Moses struck the rock and it produced water. But what happened was he struck the rock twice because what he was doing was a prophetic act. He didn't realize it. The Lord said, strike the rock, water will pour out. So he went up there to go strike the rock. But what was actually happening was he was prophesying the crucifixion of the rock, Jesus Christ, that one strike would be enough to give life because the water was to sustain their life, right? What happened when Christ was on the cross? The water poured out from his side. When Moses struck it a second time, he was violating the prophecy. He was actually prophesying that it would take two strikes. And that's what cost him the ability to go into the promised land. You know, well, Brother David, Pastor so-and-so told me a different story. Okay, that's great. Revelation has multiple dimensions. There's multiple stories. There's multiple reasons behind the striking of the rock. But one of the biggest things was that it was a prophetic act. So be careful if the Lord instructs you to do something, to do it exactly as he instructed you to do it. Unknowingly doing it, there's a different standard. It happens to record right in front of your eyes. That's a different standard. When God tells you, go do this, that is a much higher standard. And take it very seriously because he does. Well, brother, that's Old Testament. You know what's funny? There's no difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like, all of a sudden, God is no longer who he used to be. That is not true. The Old Covenant was a different type of covenant. That's a whole nother teaching on a whole nother topic. The job of the prophet is always to point people to the covenant of the Lord. God didn't change. The covenant changed. God wasn't a meanie back in the Old Testament. Like, there's a complete misunderstanding. And it's not because you haven't been taught. It's because the church doesn't have revelation. We have traded in our intimate relationship for campus culture. What is campus culture? Like clubs, Christian, we're going to walk around, catch our friends, go to Christian club, you know, follow the meeting minutes. You know, we open like this, then we transition to this, then we go hoorah, hoorah, then we break and go to McDonald's. We'll see you next week. You know, we've traded in our intimacy, which breeds revelation, for campus club Christianity. And so, anyways, I'm steering away a little bit, but the prophetic act, when God instructs you to do it, very much you must pay attention. I know that was a little Yoda-y. Very much you must pay attention. That was a terrible Yoda. But you get what I'm saying. If God's telling you to do it, it's because he trusts you, which means you already have an element of relationship more than Western Christianity provides. You probably are intimate with the Lord if he's going to give you divine instructions to do something. And that's fabulous. Be a good steward of what he tells you to do. And then there's prophetic acts by faith. And that's when you do something on your own accord in faith, which is not wrong. It's not sinful. Just because you're doing it on your own doesn't make it sinful. You know, if you're driving by and you're like, you know, Deuteronomy says, every place I tread, I'm going to take, you know, I take authority in that land. So I'm going to get out of my car right here, take off my shoes and walk around and claim this land. And that's by faith. And that's okay. It's not going to yield the same return because you're doing it by faith versus doing it under divine instruction. But don't let that deter you, especially if you feel prompted on the inside. Like, hey, let's go do a faith act. Let's go do a prophetic act by faith. You know, or this land is, there's a lot of witchcraft in this land, so I'm going to go up to the high place and worship the Lord. Well, if he didn't divinely instruct you to do that, it doesn't mean you shouldn't. It just means you're doing it by faith. So these are just different elements of the prophetic act. I was part of a prophetic act in 2020 during the scamdemic. I was in Los Angeles with Sean Foyt. And they were planting an olive tree, which was representation of restoration and, you know, the anointing oil from the olive tree. And then the olive branch, which is the branch of peace and all that, on Azusa Street, right in the place that the revival broke out with William Seymour, right? We were planting it also prophetically that the roots of the tree would dig down into the deep wells of revival. And two local pastors, Sean Foyt and myself, threw dirt. We lowered it into the hole and we threw dirt on it as a prophetic act and a prophetic planting of this tree. You know, did the Lord manifest in the dark cloud and say, go do it? Well, I don't know, because it was Sean's idea, so maybe. But we did it by faith, and it's no less powerful. It just might carry less authority if it's a faith act versus a divine instruction act. But anyways, I want to encourage you today to take situations and scenarios in your life that you've had a hard time comprehending. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody betrayed you. You know, the bank was unfair and seized your assets or whatever it is, or you got passed over for this or whatever it is in your life that you've never fully understood and you just kind of been one of those, well, Lord, I just give it to you and I move on. That's good because too many people stay stuck. But I want to encourage you to take that situation to the Lord in prayer. Go into your prayer closet, worship him, wait until his spirit manifests the presence. Wait until the presence of God comes all around you and bring those situations before the Lord that he might give you the divine interpretation, the revelation of what he was speaking through those situations that you don't understand. And not every situation that you don't understand has to be negative. There are many situations that will unfold in your life around you or before you that are positive that you're not going to understand. Just most people identify with, I don't understand this negative thing. It's easy to chop up the positive thing as, oh, random blessing, praise God. But to everything, there's a deeper understanding. So today I want to encourage you to do that. All right. Father, I thank you for every listener. I bless them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge and the understanding of their call in their life, God. I pray that you would illuminate everything you have for them on this day, their daily bread. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for tuning in and listening. God bless you. I hope you have a fantastic day wherever you are. Thanks for joining us.